Good evening and welcome to Alliance of Honorable Men. I want to stress to you before we get into tonight's lesson, the Bible talks about in Hebrews the 12th chapter, not letting these things slip that we've learned. I know we had a great week in Prosperity Revival, and I know you might have had a wonderful time, but it's very important that you go over the Prosperity Revival again and again and again, so that we can change how we think, so that we can change how we feel, and we can change how we act or behave so that we can change our results. And it's going to tie into the lesson tonight because we're still talking about the purpose of the church. We've talked about revealing the Father. That's the first purpose of church. The second purpose is that the church must shut down the gates of hell. Now, we'll get into that into a moment. A little background, this pandemic that we're going through is not something that shocked God. It shocked humanity, but it didn't shock God. And God always has a plan of protection. And so it's very important that we read the signs of the times and understand what is going on around us. There's three things as a Christian that you need to be working on that we're going to focus on tonight. And this is why I talked about watching the Prosperity Revival over and over again. Listen, you need to flood your environment with the Word of God. One of the greatest assets that you have is being able to recognize truth. Once you recognize truth, you can apply truth. What I mean by that? With all the information that's floating around, the chaos in our society, what's going on around us, especially in our country, the United States of America, we need to, as more than anything else, we need to be able to recognize truth. Recognize what is deception. Recognize what is truth. What can we apply to our lives? When we're talking to somebody, are they trying to deceive us? Or they're telling us the truth? One of the greatest assets you have is to be able to recognize truth. When you recognize truth, that also means you can recognize deception. So that's important. And so there's three things you need to be focusing on. Like I said, this pandemic, I believe, is what I like to call a shot across the bow. It is a warning to the church. It also is a, what I like to call a field test. I've never been in the military, but those of you who are watching me in the military, you know what field tests are. The purpose of field tests is to do what? Test your preparedness. How ready are you for battle? If we have to go into combat, how ready are you? Now, this pandemic has exposed a lot over our country and our world. It exposes, number one, it exposes, this is first and foremost, it exposed the health of our country and our world. The second thing it exposed is the wealth or lack of wealth of individuals. The third thing it exposed, and this is specifically to the church, the third thing it exposed is how much of a bubble the church has been in. And so by us being forced out of the church, a lot of us, we're going out, we're starting to coming back to church. We're starting to have services again. But if we don't change the way of thinking about the church and change the way our paradigm, make a paradigm shift in the church, we will fall back in that same rut, same hole. The Bible says that Jesus, in Luke 19, I think, is that we are to seek and to save those who are lost. Ephesians 4 chapter, the 11th verse, talks about Jesus gave us five gifts, the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, the teacher, and the evangelist. For what? For the maturing of the saints. All those in chronological order. We've gone over this before. For the You have a circle of influence, people that you influence. Make sure that everybody in your circle that you have influence over, that you have contact with, knows the gospel. That you are, not because of just what you say, but by what you do, they know and can recognize the gospel. The third thing is for the building of the church. That means the adding of people to his family. And so that's what the fivefold ministry is supposed to be doing. So in that, this pandemic has exposed this. Number one, it's exposed how much poverty the country is in, where people can't be quarantined for a week because they got to get their paycheck. It exposed health, because the one thing out of all the information and misinformation that is floating around our country and our world about COVID-19, the one thing that they all agree on is that if you have an underlying condition, your immune system will be weaker. So what are they saying? The immune system is strong enough. Immune system? Who gave us our immune system? God, our Father. We are beautifully and wonderfully made, Psalms 139. Our immune system, God has created our immune system to deal with anything that we have to face. But if we're causing our immune system to be attacked from two fronts, this is why I'm possibly talking about health, what we put into our bodies, because what we put into our bodies is what we get out of our bodies. This is why Apostle talks about wealth. When we take care of our resources, when we become sowers, when we become stewards, I highly recommend you go and listen at Friday morning again, because I talked about how to get the ACANs out of your thought process, things that cause you to spend money when you don't need to spend money. One of the most powerful statements, I must say so myself, it stunned me. I said it that morning. I've been rehearsing it in my mind ever since, and I've been repeating it to people. What taste is to health is what luxury items are to wealth. Other words, taste is a good thing to have, but if what I'm tasting and what I like to taste is hurting my health, then I have to change my taste until my body gets back in its place. Then I can sporadically return to taste. Luxury items the same way to wealth. If what I'm about to buy is going to hurt my wealth and hurt my future, then I don't need to have it. Because there's nothing I have to have. There's nothing that I have to eat that's going to kill me. There's nothing I have to have that's going to stunt my growth in the future or stunt my wealth from growing. That's the one of the most powerful. What taste is to health is what luxury items is to wealth. Now let's define real quick what luxury items is. What you like. Stop letting the world system, I'm getting ahead of myself. Stop letting the world system define for you what is wealth. What you like. Stop letting the world system do that to you. You define it for yourself. You must become an autonomous thinker. What I mean by autonomous, you within yourself make your decisions. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives on inside of you. So he's there to help you make the right decisions. So this pandemic, now, once again, this is not the last pandemic. The Bible talks about the last days. But the Bible also says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, or the name of the other character of the Lord. Are we behaving on earth like God would behave if he was here? What is it? What is our character? What are we doing? How do we think? How do we handle our body? How do we handle our finances? How are we handling God's agenda? So that leads me to tonight's lesson, which is the second purpose of the church, which is to destroy the gates of hell, or to stop the gates of hell from progressing in the earth realm. See, we must understand that the thief cometh not. That's John 10:10. Matter of fact, turn there with me. John 10:10. John 10th chapter. Now remember, the first part was to reveal the church. The first part was to reveal the church. Or reveal, not reveal, to reveal the Father. to reveal the Father. Who is the church? Reveal the Father. That's our number one purpose in the church, is to reveal the Father so the world can recognize who God is. The second one we're going to tonight is the church must shut down the gates of hell. John 10:10. Watch this. Very familiar scripture. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Now, this is true. The scripture is very powerful. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life," or Zoe, everything you need to have to live like God wants you to have. That's what Zoe means. Having everything you need to have to live like God wants you to live. "And that they might have it more abundantly." The word "might" means conditional. So every time you see the word "might," that means I have a part to play. So now if the church is to shut down the gates of hell, that means I must shut down the gates of hell in my life first. Jesus already prepared the way for this to happen. I think it's John 19 and 30. Go to John 19 and 30. John 19, 30. Yeah, look at John 19 and 30. It says, "When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar," watch this, "he said, it is finished. Bowed his head and gave up the ghost." What is finished? What is finished? See, that's a good question. What is finished? To find out the answer to what is finished, let's go to Galatians 3:13. Turn it with me. A lot of scriptures. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Some of y'all know this by heart. I know it by heart, but for those of us that need to read it, you need to have this in your heart. You need to memorize this. Galatians 3:13. Christ. The same Christ that said, "It is finished." It is finished. All right. So let's see what Christ finished. "Christ hath," past this, "redeemed." Redeemed means to put us back in a former position, to buy back, or to put us in a former position. What? All right. So now the question is, what position were we in? Remember that we're talking about the gates of hell. The church must shut down the gates of hell. The church, you and I, the church, we're the body of Christ. We can't shut the gates of hell down if we can't shut the gates of hell down in our personal lives. Back to what I was saying at the beginning. It's hard to focus on the will of God when you live in paycheck to paycheck. Because then the law of survival of the fittest comes in. So when God gives us instructions and we live in paycheck to paycheck, we now got to choose between, are we going to obey God, or are we going to go after money? That's what Jesus meant in Luke, the 16th chapter, when he said, "Ye cannot serve God and mammon." We ought to serve God, and mammon ought to serve us. Our money ought to serve us. Really, it's not so much talking about money. It's talking about a spirit behind money. We ought to serve God, and the spirit that influenced mammon ought to serve us. We ought to make it work for us on our at our behest, for our benefit. So you cannot truly serve God living paycheck to paycheck. Jesus, watch what it says. "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law." Redeemed meaning put us back in a former position, put us in a, has bought us back, redeemed. Now, what position he put us back in? He put us back in the same position that Adam and Eve were in before they sinned, before they ate off the tree. Now, what position was that? They had whole bodies. They were so whole that they weren't even wearing clothes. You try that nowadays. It ain't gonna work. They were lacking nothing. God told him, "You can have any fruit off of any tree in the garden except one." And watch this. God was not trying to stop them from accessing that tree. He wanted them to access that tree by doing the third thing that they had was unlimited access to his presence and his mind and his intellect. See, God was going to train them and take them through the process of being exposed to evil under his protection so that evil won't affect them. They will affect change. Glory to God. We talked about this before. You know, the God of Eden didn't cover the whole earth. The God of Eden covered a section of the all portion of the earth. That was training ground for God to train Adam and Eve to go be fruitful and multiply. Not talking about making more babies. It's talking about what you see here. Take this with you and go into the outer darkness and begin to recreate it. How I know that? Because when Adam and Eve sinned, he told them, take the seed and you go. And now you're going to get this, everything done by the sweat of your brow. And he said, you can't stay here and eat off the tree. All these trees are going to give you life eternally. You can't do that now because you're in sin. You have sin nature. So I'm going to release you into the outer darkness. So Adam and Eve was released prematurely into the land that they were supposed to recreate. Now they were up to their own intelligence. Oh, my God. Their own intelligence of how to recreate the earth. A lot of us are in that same position. Sinners are trying to recreate the Garden of Eden with their intelligence alone and their nature alone, and it's impossible. But we, on the other hand, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. What, first of all, what is the curse of the law? It's three simple things. Number one, the curse is poverty. The second is sickness and disease. The third is second death or eternal separation from God. That is the curse of the law. Every sin results in you benefiting or you being hurt by one of those three things: poverty, sickness, disease, or second death. Now, Jesus redeemed us, put us back in a form position so that we don't have to deal with second death. We don't have to deal with sickness and disease, and we don't have to deal with poverty. Are you noticing what those three things that this pandemic has exposed? It exposed, watch, us not for the agenda of God. That's separation. Death really means separation. Separation from God's agenda. Thank God that we have the apostolic order coming back into the church so that the people of God can get back connected to God's apostolic agenda and watch this, revive his agenda. The second thing this pandemic exposed is sickness and disease. How the foods that we eat are contaminated. How the foods, if we don't watch it, the food that we are contaminated, we got to pick and choose. We got to have discernment on what we eat so we can feed our body the right things so that we can be at full optimum strength to do the will of God. You cannot do the will of God sick. You can't do the will of God weak. You can't do the will of God if your body not functioning properly, because your body is your ticket to be here on the earth. If you don't have a body, you can't do nothing in the natural. The third thing is poverty. This pandemic exposed poverty. Exposed that people can't go a week without working. They can't survive. They have no other income. They have no other streams of income. They have no savings. They have no reserves. Oh my God. So this is the reason why this is so important. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And we have to shut down the gates. The church has to shut down the gates of hell. We as a church cannot shut down the gates of hell if we can't shut down the gates of hell in our lives. What the gates of hell would do? The gates of hell are trying to do these three things. Number one and foremost, separate us from the love of God. Number two, it's trying to cause us to be always sick, always weak, to where we can't do the will of God. And three, trying to keep us in poverty so that we cannot maneuver in this earth realm. The Bible says that money is a defense. Every time you go into the store, you're going to war, because they're telling you in that store, this is what this costs, and you can't get this unless you have this amount. But every time you pull out that amount of money and say, here, I got it, give it to me, you've won that battle. Money is a defense. But it also says wisdom is a defense. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in at. This where your redemption comes in at. I don't have to think like the world system. I don't have to let the world system define for me things that God has already defined. God don't have to define for me what a relationship looked like with him. He's already defined it. God don't have to define for me what health, the world system don't have to define for me what health is. God has already defined that for me. The world system don't decide or define wealth for me. God has already defined it for me. So watch this. In the 13th verse, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Why? Because he was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Now, why did that happen? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. We all know what faith is, your assignment. So here we see that Christ, it is finished. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It is finished. So that means you and I have to operate from a position of triumph, a position of victory, a position of I am a child of God. I am healthy. I am wealthy. Now, if anything on the outside of me doesn't reflect what's on the inside of me, I have to let what's on the inside of me begin to change what's on the outside of me. Now, what I mean what's on the inside of me, I'm talking about a combination of your spirit cooperating, your soul, I'm talking about your soul cooperating with your spirit. So your spirit is the king. Your soul is the manager. Your body is the slave. So your spirit already knows what to do. How I know that? You're made in the image of God. The Bible says God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that means God is a spirit. So that means if I'm made in the image of God, I'm first spirit. My soul, God gave me my soul to cooperate with my spirit. So therefore, the word of God, the Logos word of God helps our soul becomes conditioned so that it can cooperate with our spirit. Grab this. It becomes conditioned. The word of God conditions our soul so they can cooperate with our spirit, because God communicates with us through his spirit, his Holy Spirit. Are you seeing this? By the way, what's another name for the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of Truth. The Spirit of Truth. What's another name for this Holy Spirit? Spirit of life, Spirit of life. And I think it's John 16, he calls the Spirit of Truth. And Romans 8, he's called the Spirit of life. Mm-hmm. And watch this, he's the Spirit of the way. Well, where you get that from? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 10. But it shall be revealed unto us by, I had not seen, ear had not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has planned for them. But it is revealed unto us by his Spirit. So the Spirit, Holy Spirit knows the way. So Jesus is the way. Jesus, watch this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14 and 6. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus is the way. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of those things. So Jesus, that's why Jesus left the Holy Spirit with us, to comfort us, to reveal things to us when we're ready to hear it. That's why you have an unction. The Holy Spirit is bringing scriptures up. You have an unction and you know all things. That unction is the Holy Spirit. So we're redeemed from the curse of the law. It is finished, that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. We have to operate from a position of triumph. We can't help nobody else if we can't help ourselves. Listen to what I'm saying. We cannot help anybody else if we can't help ourselves. I can't get nobody else out of the ditch if I'm in the ditch. I can't get nobody else healthy if I'm not healthy. I can't get nobody else to have a relationship with God if I don't have a relationship with God. Oh my goodness, I hope this is good. It's simple, but it's good. I can't help nobody else get out of debt. I can't help nobody else get out of debt if I'm not out of debt. I can't help nobody else become wealthy if I'm not wealthy. Jesus made a statement to the disciples, and we're Bible students, so I really had to go to make reference of it. Jesus was talking to the disciples. Remember the woman with the alabaster box that came to pour the perfume on Jesus' feet? And the Bible says that the disciples got upset and said that that could have been sold and given to the poor. Do you know how Jesus responded to them? Jesus said, "You're gonna have the poor with you always." Man, that statement bothered me because I didn't realize what Jesus was telling. He said, "You're gonna have the poor with you always." This one, what this woman is doing is for my burial. I'm not gonna be with you always. She's doing this as a memorial for my burial, and it's gonna be a testimony for her for the rest of her days. But I couldn't understand why Jesus made this statement with you. You're gonna have the poor with you always. If you go back and read that passage, and I'll be sure to get that passage. You can look it up. Y'all Bible students, go look it up. And you'll find out what I'm saying is true. Jesus, the disciples got mad and said that could have been sold and given to the poor. What Jesus was really saying is, with the attitude that y'all have towards the poor, y'all gonna have the poor with y'all always. What that meant? What was he talking about? Jesus was saying when the disciples think that it's better to receive than to give, he said, y'all going to keep people poor. If you give people everything, you're going to keep them poor. That's what Jesus meant when he said the poor you're going to have with you always. Because the mentality the disciples had was this could have been sold and we could have got the money and gave it to the poor. No, the poor need to be doing what this lady is doing. Giving. That's why 2 Corinthians the 9th chapter 10th verse is so important. It says he ministered, meaning God ministered or give a seed to the sower and bread for your food. Multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So God has given everybody who wants to get wealthy, God has given them seed. But the question is, do they recognize? See, I'm going to be jumping from subject to subject, but this is why the purpose of the church has to change, because we can't be so self-centered. We have to be about God's agenda. We have to be more concerned about getting people born again, getting people delivered out of this darkness. See, the reason why it's not going to be the last pandemic, and you need to start preparing for the future pandemics. How you do that? Number one, I need to get my health straight. Number two, I need to make sure my wealth is on track. Number three, I need to make sure I'm spending more time with God. That wasn't in chronological order. That's just the order I went in. The chronological order is I need to have my relationship tight with God. I need to make sure I'm spending time with God on a daily basis. Number two, I need to make sure I get my health straight. Number three, I need to make sure my wealth is straight. Now, stop letting the world system define health for you and define wealth for you. All luxury items do is tell other people you spent a lot of money. It doesn't tell people you're wealthy. It lets people assume you're wealthy. And we have a lot of fakers. Why? Because debt allows us to fake. That's why I don't believe the statement, fake it till you make it. I can't stand that statement. No, you don't need to fake it till you make it, because if you fake it till you make it, you're faking it. That's your thought process. You ain't ever going to make it. You have to become an autonomous thinker. See, remember now, we're still talking about the gates of hell should not prevail against the church, or the church has to shut down the gates of hell. If the gates of hell is not shut down in my life, I won't be able to shut it down in the lives of others. This is from fivefold ministry on down. Just because God called you don't mean you shutting down the gates of hell. When God calls you, God says you have an opportunity to participate in my way of doing things. Now I need you to cooperate with what I'm saying. Glory to God. So that's why you see so many preachers who in the fivefold ministry gifts, they struggle. Because they haven't figured out how to shut the gates of hell down in their life. The gates of hell, sickness and disease, poverty, and being separated from the will of God. Relationship, being separated from relationship with God, being separated from fellowship with God. Those are the three things that Satan, that's all Satan wants. That's what the gates of hell does to people. Those three things. And so we have to get them out of our lives so that it can be, so that we can then be able to exemplify, demonstrate, and testify to others how to do it. See, one of the strongest things, one of the strongest witnesses you can have in your to other people is how you live. People are watching you. They're watching how you handle situations. As you begin to handle situations God's way, you are witnessing the whole time. Let your life talk for you. Let your life talk for you. So you cannot let the world system define what wealth is, nor what health is. You have to let God define it for you, and God defines it. God is very clear with wealth. God said he'll give you the desires of your heart. That's wealth. He didn't say he'll give you the desires of other people so you can impress them. Matter of fact, some of y'all are probably reading the Forbes 400 list and who the richest in the world. Stop paying attention to them. If they ain't claiming the name of Jesus, they have no clue. They just was good at manipulating the world system. Period. Notice God never said a goal for being a Christian was to be the richest. But he said, I shall supply all your needs according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Your needs, your wants, your desires. This is why you have to begin to pay attention to what you're putting in your body. When the last time you went and got a checkup? Do you even know what your body's doing? What's happening with your body? Pain. If you have pain in your body and you hadn't checked it, get the pain checked to find out what's going on, because your body can correct it, but you got to know what needs to be corrected. This is why Apostle is teaching on health. This is why Apostle is so passionate about these things, because the Bible says Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. What Jesus is saying, I'm coming back for a church that fellowshipping with God has their health and has their wealth. So if we can't understand, if we don't have a fellowship with God, if we don't know the agenda of God, how can we share the agenda of God? If we don't know God's definition of health and it's operating in our lives, how can we share it? If we don't know what God means about wealth and let it operate in our lives, how can we share it? How can we shut down the gates of hell in the world system if we can't even shut down the gates of hell in our own lives? So as I close, and we're going to continue this next week, we need to begin to understand what it means to live the God kind of life. See, when you go back and read, when you go back and listen at the Prosperity Vow from Friday morning, you'll see Satan's only objective is to warp your thinking. If he can warp your thinking, he's just thrown everything else off about you. If he can control your thoughts, if he can plant that seed of doubt, if he can plant that seed of foolish spending, if he can plant that seed of foolish eating, if he can plant that seed of foolishly not spending time with God, if he can plant that seed, if he can make your body tired, you're like, I don't feel like reading the word of God today, or I don't feel like praying today, or I don't feel like spending time with God today. If he can plant that seed, then he can warp your whole outcome. Jesus, now remember this, Jesus said, I've come that you might have everything God has for you to live the life God wants you to live. He said, I've come that you might. That means might means I play a part. So you have to begin to play a part. This is why this training center is so important, because we're not just dealing with your spirit. We're also going to deal with your soul, and we're going to deal with your body. See, a lot of people don't like when it comes to talking about that food and talking about the health and talking about changes that got to be made. Remember now what I stated? Remember the statement I said? Taste is to health what luxury items are to wealth. They're nice to have. They're nice. Taste is good. Luxury items are good. I didn't say they weren't good. I just said if what I'm tasting, what I like to eat, is affecting my health, then I got to change how what I'm eating. I got to change my taste. If what I'm buying is hurting my wealth, I got to change my taste. That is a powerful statement. I leave you with this. You are blessed. You are operating from a position of triumph. I am a child of God. I am healthy. I am wealthy. When you grasp that, your thought process, you need to read. Oh my God, read, 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 read. The more you read, the easier it will be for you to recognize truth and detect BS. Read. If you haven't read the book, Money Cometh, you need, I know you got a lot of reading going on now. I know you got a lot of reading, but you can't read enough. Sometimes you ought to read till your head hurt. Read till you get tired. Read till you can't go no more. And then when you can't read, get an audio book. Put that in. And so flushing your thought process, creating another environment around you so that your thoughts can be protected. You guard your heart with all diligence, for out of them are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. You are blessed. I am, say it with me, I am a child of God. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I'll see you next week.